Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the podcast that's not as bad as 2020 was, but not as good as...
2021 will be.
I don't know, 2021 will be. I mean, maybe. I mean, Happy New Year to everyone.
Why that's
the first thing
that?
To say.
Happy New Year.
You've jinxed it.
I mean, we are... It's going to continue for a bit, isn't it?
The podcast.
This whole situation. Oh, right. Well, hopefully the podcast, but the situation...
Neither at this rate.
Oh, gentlemen, how has your new year been? How are you in this fine 2021?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, Martin. It was good. It was, you know, it was different. I'm sure everyone's was different, but all things considered, we had a good holiday season. It was quiet. Quiet is all I'll say. It was, but that was a good thing. I was relaxed, I think. I think in many
quiet,
ways.
Not much coughing, so.
Yeah, good. Yeah, so that's positive. Count ourselves lucky.
Indeed. And Robin, how are you, gentleman?
Hi, well, thank you. Happy to be back talking to you at the beginning of 2021. It was a very quiet Christmas, and much quieter than planned. But yeah, it was kind of nice in a way. As long as everyone else that we know and who's part of our audience stayed safe, that's what counts.
Absolutely. Absolutely, indeed. And this week on our less than terrible, but better than... Less than terrible? No. Better than terrible. Less than exceptional podcast. We're going to be discussing the question that's on everyone's lips. And that question is, has the Holy Grail been found in Hounslow?
I don't know why this isn't the top story on all the mainstream news at the moment, to be quite honest.
You're saying it's not?
I'm shocked. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, well apparently the Holy Grail has been found in a London suburb. So we'll be discussing that. And after that, of course, we'll be doing our weekly quiz. But before we get onto that, we'll be discussing what we have learned this week. Alex, have you learned anything that's worth knowing this week?
I don't know about worth knowing, but yes. First of all, I'm glad you came to me first, because I wanted to ask both of you if you had any New Year's resolutions for 2021.
Kind of.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not really a resolutions person. I mean, not through any active attempts to avoid it, just because I kind of forget to do it.
Can't improve on perfection.
No, this year, I think I kind of half resolved, but I continued my resolutions at the beginning of pandemic lockdown, which was to spend more time with family and be more productive. And yeah. I wasn't in 2020. So I kind of said, let's try that again in 2021.
Then you get a pass on 2020.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Martin?
But I guess resolutions should be quite specific, can't they? And my things are very much more like, oh, I need to create more videos for Just Interesting that aren't podcasts.
That is,
and things like that. Which hopefully will be, I've started. If there's a couple in the pipelines, and keep your eyes peeled. In general, I don't. No, like I should go running seven times a week, nothing like that. Ugh. Nothing mental. Yeah.
The trick is to have very unambitious aims. So my aims, for example, are to play more games. I'm going to do that anyway. So there we go.
But see, that's an ambition I have every year, and I never achieve it. Oh. Never.
Well, one that we're definitely going to achieve, which is my next one, totally unambitious, get to 1 million subscribers on YouTube.
Easy. We'll get our golden button and then we'll start one of those channels where you cut everything in half.
Most oddly satisfying video ever. It's just us chopping into a cake. Yes.
Exactly. It's a golden button, but psych, it's actually a cake. Golden button cake.
Exactly. But the reason I'm bringing this up is not that what I've learned this week isn't just about your New Year's resolutions. It's where New Year's resolutions came from to begin with. Where did it come from? This trend of, you know, coming up with something we wonder, okay, we'll do something a bit different next year. And it actually dates back over 4,000 years ago to ancient Babylon, this trend. Back before... you know, January 1st wasn't even the new year.
That's older than the calendar.
Exactly. Do you know when the new year began 4,000 years ago in ancient Babylon?
17th of September.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I don't know the actual date, in fairness. It's
more Why did you ask, Alex?
Well, it's more of a,
what was the point?
More of a time of year. You could guess the time of year, I think.
Spring?
Spring, exactly. Yeah, yeah, because it's the start of the new crops. Life's coming back. It's like it's a new year. And during the Akito festival, ancient Babylonians would plant crops, crown a new king, or pledge their loyalty to the reigning king, and make promises to the gods to pay their debts and return any borrowed items. And they believed that if they kept their word, the gods would look favorably on them for the year ahead. And if they broke their promises, they would fall on the bad side of their gods. So yeah, and then this tradition carried on into ancient Rome when Julius Caesar introduced the new calendar in 46 BC, which was when January 1st became the new year. And then apparently in the Middle Ages, knights would renew their vow to chivalry by placing their hands on a live or roasted peacock each year.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I learned this week.
Very good. And I was going to go next, actually, because mine also involves the Babylonians.
Really?
What?
And,
wow. Yeah, what are the chances? Great minds think alike.
Crazy. Well, my one is slightly different. And I mean, if we're talking about inherent worth to our facts here, mine is definitely less worthy than yours, Alex, because mine is the origin of the first your mama joke, which dates back, supposedly, to the Babylonians.
Did everything date back to the ancient Babylonians? Did they just do everything first?
Pretty much.
We're talking about 1500 BC here. And there was a damaged tablet that was found in 1976 by an archaeologist. And the tablet has since, unfortunately, gone missing. But written on the tablet at the time were a whole variety of different riddles. And one of them was a supposed joke that is... you know, has certainly resembles a your mama joke. So on the tablet was written, "Of your mother is by the one who has intercourse with her. What? Who is it?" Hey! Doesn't make much sense, but we can see from that that your mother intercourse is basically calling your mama slag.
It does sound and like
that,
it, yeah.
That to me sounds like the first your mama joke.
Kind of felt like the punchline came first in that.
And then, 100%, mate. That's how they did it back then.
Yeah. That sounds like it's an incest joke, right? Of your mother is the one who had intercourse with her.
Yeah, of your mother is by the one who has intercourse with her.
Oh, is by the one. Okay, now it doesn't
make
sense.
By the one.
No, it doesn't make sense.
What / who is it? Slightly lost in translation, but I think we get the idea that they are referring to someone's mum being a bit of a whore.
I'm gonna use that. No.
So what you're saying is when someone in school claimed that they invented your mum jokes, actually it was the ancient Babylonians thousands of years earlier.
They were like, your mum is so fat she has her own gravitational field. And you're like, your mum's so fat that of your mother by is the one who has intercourse with her.
Who is it?
Who is it?
What? Who is it?
Exactly. Oh, so there's your comeback if anyone decides to go back to the 90s and harass you with your mum jokes.
Oh dear.
Robin, what have you learned this week?
Well, I feel like I've let the side down. I don't have a Babylon fact. I mean, I could pick one out if you like, just pull off if I could find one. But I was reading about Louis Braille the other day.
Ah.
You know, he of Braille, Alphabet
fame.
Yes. And unsurprisingly, he was blind, which is why I invented it. But he sounds like a generally awesome dude. For instance, he was apparently a very good organist. But what I found particularly interesting is that he wasn't born blind. He became blind when he was 3 years old after a nasty accident in his father's shed with a tool that fell into his eye.
Ooh.
And basically destroyed it. But then what I found interesting was I learned something that I'd never heard of before, which is sympathetic ophthalmia, which someone in our audience might have heard of. But this is a condition that Louis Braille probably suffered, which is one eye was destroyed by this tool, but the other eye was fine, except there's this condition, sympathetic ophthalmia, where your body isn't used to the contents of the eye, essentially. So everything that's inside the eye is a foreign body. It thinks it's some kind of bacteria or germ or virus. No. So this eye was destroyed, the immune system went into overdrive with all these foreign cells and was like, attack, attack, attack. But then, of course, this eye is affected, so it thinks the other eye is in danger as well. So basically, the body blinds yourself because it thinks one eye is blinded and it thinks the other eye is in danger as well. So you end up being blinded by your body's own defense system, which I thought was remarkable and quite sad.
That's pretty horrendous. I was going to ask, did this implement fall in both eyes?
Yeah.
And then you explained it quite nicely.
Thank you. I'm glad I did.
It was a rake. Yeah.
Stepped on it, and that's where the cartoonish standing on a rake came from. Mm. Although actually, it's just the pole that comes up, isn't it?
Yeah. The double
sided.
Didn't think that one through. Thank you for that, Robin. Thank you.
Not as cheery as your two facts.
It's not, but it's interesting. I was going to say, I thought he would have been doing the blueprint for Braille, creating it, and the implement he was using blinded him in a horrendous irony.
Oh, the irony.
irony.
Hey.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Right, shall we move on?
Yeah. I was going to say, don't reward me for that one. That was low hanging fruit.
Take it. Luckily, this is audio form as well. Check out Audio Boom for you to listen to it. Or you can be listening to it on YouTube. Sure. I reckon we should take this opportunity to speak about our Patreon, which we recorded just before this episode began.
That is true.
And we are, of course, now recording two Patreon episodes, not one, but two Patreon episodes a week. So this week we have Donald Trump and the revelation of the secret tapes that aren't actually that secret, are they? They're just being recorded.
That's an Indiana Jones movie that I want to watch.
Donald Trump and the secret tapes.
Still starring Harrison Ford, somehow.
Yeah.
Yes. He's 300. Yes. And so there's here. So there's that one. And then we also spoke about...
Julian Assange.
Julian Assange!
Julian Assange.
Of course,
it took me a while to remember that one. Yes.
Julian Assange and his extradition bid that was actually foiled by a judge in the UK. So we discussed that too. So if you fancy checking out either of those or both of those, then head on over to our Patreon, which will be in the link below. Shall we move on to some of our favourite comments of the last 2 weeks?
Let's. Absolutely.
Well, my first comment of the week isn't my favourite comment, but I'd like to address it. Eric Atlas says, Alex is always complaining, the bumbling idiot, which, I'm not denying this. Fair enough.
You don't complain.
I am always complaining.
I do complain. I'm not the complainer.
Who can blame me? This was 2020, Eric. Yeah. Who wasn't complaining in 2020?
Yeah,
you've got a point. To be honest, I don't
bumbling
think
idiot is
complain.
Fair enough, though. I'll accept that.
you're not a whingy kind of person. Not at all.
Nah.
Oh, thank you for jumping to my defense there. I need you guys for my moral support.
Yeah, you're or less whingy than this.
Yeah,
but in real life, I'm sure probably the most positive out of all of us.
Yeah, Alex is a real saint.
All right,
Saint Alex.
Right. Let's
Saint Alex of Brown.
You've gone too far now. You've jumped the shark.
See, this is what we mean. See how nice he is.
But thank you for the feedback, though. What I will say is that I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna try and be a bit more positive in 2021. You know. Bring
news
some
resolutions.
More positivity into it. Exactly, yeah. So, thank you, Eric. Thank you, okay? That's not a complaint, is it? There. Checkmate.
Positive enough for you.
And I always had the last laugh.
Yeah. Needless to say.
Needless to say, I had the last laugh.
Well, I've got a comment from David Guevara, who is actually one of our patrons.
Hey, Dave.
So thank you, David, for supporting us. And this was on our Will the Psychic 2021 predictions come true? And David says, I'm not hoping for any assassination, but I don't think Biden would shock the world. Unless it was done by the digestive biscuit, and that's what makes it go viral. And that is in relation to the fact that one of the psychics said that there would be some big news involving a digestive biscuit. So whoa. Thank you, David. And yeah, I mean, would it shock the world? Maybe not. If it was done by a biscuit, yeah, I mean, that would be a different story.
Good talking point.
I mean, how would that happen? Poison biscuit, I guess, is the
poison biscuit. I mean, he's saying if it was done by the digestive biscuit, the sentient digestive biscuit, assassinated by
the shock is digestive biscuits rise up, overthrow your masters. All honesty, I'm waiting now. I'm going to spend the entirety of 2021 in anticipation of some major digestive biscuit news. And I'll be very disappointed if we reach this time
next
year.
I'm looking out for it.
And it's not happened.
Well, I, for one, love digestive biscuits. I, for one, welcome our digestive biscuits overlords.
So crumbly and oaty and wise. Well, I've got a comment from the same video from a couple of weeks ago about potentially crazy 2021 predictions by psychic. And Tyler, who I think is a YouTube member, says, well, first he grabs our attention by saying, castration, 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 castration,
castration, castration. He basically spammed the YouTube.
Castration, 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 castration. Thank you. 18 times. And he says, now that I have your attention. He just wants to say, I was a big fan of your previous channel and glad you guys are still going with a new format. In the past, you've asked what people do while listening, and we have. And he says, I normally listen to you three while going for walks in the Canadian prairies, where it can go from minus 55 degrees Celsius in wind chill in the winter and up to plus 50 degrees Celsius in the summer, which is mad.
Get out.
That is just
That's pretty mad.
So...
yeah.
That is extreme.
That is extreme. And follow-up question, Tyler, have you gone walking in those conditions? In which case, thank you for listening to us in those conditions. That's just mad.
He hasn't listened in a couple of months during the winter. Headphones froze to the ears.
I think it makes sense, though, because if you were to describe our personalities, this podcast, as a type of weather, what would you describe it as? Because I know what I'd describe it as. Fierce mild. We are the neutral tone that he needs in this.
Are we temperate?
Weather. We're temperate. We're very temperate.
We are.
Do we reflect the UK's weather system? Well, there is some pretty remarkable news that's come out of the UK, and in particular, out of Hounslow. And this is the news that a UK Indiana Jones has claimed that the Holy Grail itself has been found in a secret crypt under a river in Hounslow in West London. Now, a bit of background. Hounslow, I believe, is if it's not the poorest, it's one of the poorest boroughs of London. So it's not like finding it next to Buckingham Palace or finding it in Mayfair or somewhere else that's kind of meant to be a little bit more prestigious. Mm. So amateur history hunter Barry John Bauer, he's been researching the Knights Templar for years, and he claims that the Holy Grail is actually in a top secret crypt under the Duke of Northumberland's river in Hounslow. So it's in London. So there are over 200 places that the Holy Grail is supposedly held. And Barry's saying that actually it's in London.
This is the one.
This is the one in Hounslow.
Hounslow,
nowhere else.
Under
all the
a
other
river.
Theories. Yeah, under a river. All the other
under
theories. Darren Brown was wrong.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones was wrong.
Indiana Jones.
It's not in Petra. Petra can forget it. It's not in Spain. It's not in the mountains of near Jerusalem.
It's not in the Vatican archives. It's here in Hounslow.
In Hounslow.
Yeah. And I mean, according to Barry, he believes that some of the soldiers from around this time, formidable soldiers, trained in this area of Hounslow. He doesn't go into much detail about which soldiers or why Hounslow.
Hmm.
He simply says, why not Hounslow? Yeah, I mean, he's suggesting that this particular crypt is, you know, within the river, and he's actually bought some geophysical equipment costing him over £1,000 to check out this river and try and find this secret crypt.
Okay.
I mean, to be honest, this is part of me being more positive in the new year. I think this is great. I think, like, you know, fair play. You go and you do you, man. You go find the Holy Grail. Yeah. You want to find the Holy Grail? He's putting his money where his mouth is. He's truly convinced that the Holy Grail is in Hounslow. And look, imagine us. Imagine the egg on our face if we are taking the Mickey and he finds the Holy Grail in Hounslow. So
yeah,
I'm fully on board with this.
This is true.
And if he doesn't find the Holy Grail, he might find something else equally, if not more interesting. And it might seem hard to imagine something more interesting. But isn't it Tutankhamun's tomb that they were looking for a different pharaoh and they found Tutankhamun? Is that right? I feel like the Valley of the Kings, anyway, there are several major glorious discoveries made there, but they thought they were looking for somebody else. So it's possible that he has found something. Because this river is actually, it might not make sense to people that there's a crypt underneath a river, but I think this river is an artificial waterway, isn't it? Like a canal or something that was created relatively recently, in the last couple of hundred years. So I think his story is that, I guess, there's a medieval crypt built by the Knights Templar, is it? In the ground Holy Grail.
That's his thinking. I mean, it has to be said that he does come from a town next to Hounslow. So it's very much a local search that we're looking at here.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, does that actually take away from the credibility?
It's hard to say, isn't it? Because in a way, local history is best done by local amateur historians, because they're the ones who've got the interest and the passion to a certain extent.
But then on the flip side, it's like... You know, was Howard Carter, he wasn't living next door to Tutankhamun's
he was not, no.
tomb. Yeah. And there's a difference between going to the Valley of the Kings to search for, you know, tombs and Hounslow.
Yeah. And it's always funny how people who say, oh, this thing is in this really unexpected corner of another country. And you're like, oh, and they live there. it's always the way.
I was going to say, he spent time in the river, hands on, searching the river and has found that, you know, that underneath of it is hollow because it's a man-made construction. And so he's certain that this is the actual place. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know in terms of actually digging down and finding whether it's there or not. I mean, we're talking about digging into a river.
Yes, that's going to be tricky.
hollow underneath. So I don't know, in terms of permission, it's going to be maybe a little bit difficult to get into the situation where he can actually open up the ground underneath the river to find this hollow vault that he says is under there.
I mean, it doesn't look like it's very fast flowing. It's just like almost like a trickle. But I wonder if they'll have to divert it to be able to allow him to dig under that.
Yeah, unless he could dig on land, like a tunnel, you know, a shaft down and then across under the river. Is that a thing he could do without hitting gas pipes or something?
Yeah, I'm not
difficult
sure.
It sounds difficult. It's a challenge, absolutely.
Yeah,
a big challenge.
He's tried to get the help of the environmental agency.
Okay.
And apparently they're kind of on board. So it seems like he has other reasons why he thinks the Holy Grail is here, but he doesn't want to reveal them yet.
Right. He hasn't said that yet.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't want like copycats and viral people to come and search. He wants to be the one to find it. And I don't blame him.
And as a result, people being skeptical works in his favour, for sure. If he does have actual concrete evidence that it could be here.
Okay, I've got three questions for you.
Okay.
First question is, do you believe the Holy Grail exists? Second question is, what do you think it looks like? Third question is, if someone found it, for instance, this fella, today or tomorrow, what kind of effect do you think that would have on the modern world?
Okay.
Good big question.
So first question, do I think it's real?
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely the theory that it wasn't actually real, is there? That it's this, the Holy Grail refers to the lineage of Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah, that's the Dan Brown Holy Blood, Holy Grail theory. Yeah,
that's that theory, which kind of makes more sense. I mean, if Jesus wanted to have a physical, surely he wouldn't have something that's physical to represent him. He was all about talking in, you know, using symbols as opposed to physical objects to represent things, and represent stories and represent ideas. So I'm not sure that it would be a physical thing. But if it was, I think that probably Indiana Jones is closest to the truth about what it would look like. It would look like a carpenter's cup as opposed to a grand chalice.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't be necessarily looking for your gold and your jewels. You'd be looking for something a lot more kind of peasantry. And what effect would it have if we found it on the world? I think, like in Indiana Jones, it depends who finds it.
Ooh.
And not for the reason that it wields a whole load of unnatural power, but for the fact that the symbolic significance of it will vary depending on which country it's found in. So if you're in a country that's, you know, incredibly religious, they would hold it in higher esteem, whereas if it was found here in the UK, it'd be like, oh, that's a cool historical artifact, it belongs in a museum. I'm going for all my references here.
Yeah, nice one.
let's put it in the British Museum and just house it there, and nothing would happen of it. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
I feel like with the historical significance question, like what would the effect on the world be? I look at some of the news stories that have come out this year, which you would think if that was announced, wow, what an effect that would have on the world. Like UFOs were confirmed in 2020.
That's true.
UFOs exist.
Yep.
The US military like confirmed that. What else? There was I suppose there were some more mysteries that were solved.
There was a Zodiac thing translated, you mentioned.
Zodiac cipher was solved. I mean, that's not on the level as the Holy Grail, but I don't know. The thing is, people hear about it and they're like, oh, that's cool, but then they just go on with their lives. I feel like generally, yeah, if the Holy Grail was found, it would be like in the news for a few days, probably not even that long, and people would move on after a couple of weeks.
It's true. I mean, there was the Richard III, wasn't there, finding that's him in that car one, park.
Yeah.
in Leicester, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they found Richard III, and it was like a big deal for the people of Leicester. Made the story for a day, and then everyone's like, "Ah, nice. I wonder what they're going to do with him." They can, and then it's very much like a local news story of about two councils fighting out what they want to do with the body.
It would propel some treasure hunter to fame. You know, the new Indiana Jones, and that could be be Mr. Bauer. That could be this man here.
That could be him. But what do you think it looks like, Alex, the Holy Grail?
The thing is, if it still exists today, I don't see how it could be a carpenter, like the Indiana Jones carpenter cup, because it would surely have, you know, disintegrated, rotted away, unless it's been preserved somehow, put in like a vacuum-packed seal somewhere.
Bubble-wrapped.
Bubble-wrapped, yeah.
If it does hold the power, though, Alex, if it holds the power to eternal life, then surely it must have eternal life itself.
The thing is, I feel like, much like the Ark of the Covenant, you know, there's that church in Ethiopia that claims to have the Ark. I think there were quite a few churches or places in history that probably claimed to have the Holy Grail. And I think it would be impossible to tell if any of them were genuine, unless, yeah, like you say, Martin, they had some kind of the power of Christ. But I think if we did find one, I don't know, I think it would be difficult to be able to tell if it was the one or just a cup from that time period.
Yeah, I mean, you'd expect there to be maybe some kind of inscription either on the cup or with it, like a tablet.
Please return to Mr. Christ. property of Jesus.
Don't touch. Yeah. You'd hope there'd be something with it, not just a cup. Otherwise, someone's probably just thrown it away already.
One of those like novelty glasses that people get at Christmas, where it's like, oh, it's wine o'clock.
The most inappropriate.
Wow.
Well, someone's drawn on it.
I live.
What about you, Robin? What do you think?
In answer to the question about the impact it would have, I think I agree with you. I think it would have no impact in some places and possibly a big impact to some people in other places. And partly that's because, in terms of faith, the Holy Grail is only relevant, right, if you believe it's a thing, and therefore you'd have to believe in Jesus Christ and his importance and his place in religion. And there are lots of people, particularly in our society, who are atheistic or agnostic and who don't really believe in that kind of thing. So I think you're right. It wouldn't be a huge deal for a lot of people. And if it possessed some kind of supernatural powers, and I think the most common one is healing powers, like in Indiana Jones, then, yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be amazing if it did. And if they could apply that to everybody, or even if it's as simple as, you know, going around one by one to everybody who's seriously sick and just giving them a sip from the cup, that'd be amazing. You don't have to extract its abilities by... We don't want scientists to go and grind it down to nothing to extract its supernatural powers. You know? That'd be terrible. But I actually personally don't think it would look like anything we traditionally think of. I mean, as you said, Indiana Jones already beat everyone to the punch and said it's not going to be a golden chalice, it's going to be the cup of a carpenter, because that's what Jesus was and his dad was. But his human dad, Joseph, not his god dad. But God dad. But actually, I mean, the word grail itself is French, of French origin, probably derived from the Latin word, I think, gradale is the word, which refers
to... Yes, I think you're correct.
Thank you, Alex, for confirming that. Which is actually a dish, not a cup. The tradition is the grail is the cup that caught the blood of Jesus Christ as he was on the cross after he'd been stabbed in the side by the Roman centurion. But it would actually probably be a dish, according to the first traditions. But even more than that, I don't think it exists. I think the earliest reference we have to the Holy Grail is from a French romance by Chrétien de Troyes, which is published in 1180?
Yeah, 1180 is right.
Thank you. The Romance of Percival, but it's a poetic work, or Le Conte de Graal, which is where the name comes from. And I find that particularly interesting because that's 1180, that's the 12th century, and I think that's the first ever mention of the Grail. And then within 20 years, there's more poetry, Arthurian poetry, explaining the origins of the Grail and its significance in relation to Jesus. But in this first mention of it, in this poem, he doesn't explain what it is. He just calls it a Graal, and it's got some kind of supernatural powers. But that French poem, Percival, is actually very closely related to a medieval Welsh poem, one of the three romances in Welsh Arthurian literature, again from the 12th century, called Peredur, which is exactly the same story as Percival, except where the Grail appears in this banquet with the Fisher King, people have heard of. In the French version, someone comes in this banquet and they're holding on a platter the Grail. But in the Welsh version, which may predate the French version, they come in holding a severed head on a platter instead of the Grail. The problem is that nobody is able to establish whether the Welsh version was written first or the French version was written first. But obviously the Welsh version has a lot more Celtic mythological influences than the French version. And of course, the Welsh version has more direct cultural connections to King Arthur, because King Arthur was, as we know, a legendary, possibly historical, British figure from probably the 5th, 6th century. So if the Grail exists, it doesn't seem to have existed culturally before the 12th century. And if it does exist, even before then, it probably wasn't even a cup. It might have been a dish, or it might have been something else entirely from a different mythology that isn't Christian. I think that's more likely. Sorry to bust anyone's balloon. That's my personal feeling about it. But, you know, thank you to Indiana Jones for making me interested in the Holy Grail. So, yeah.
Absolutely. It always helps when something's put into the popular public consciousness.
It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. So...
No.
Yeah, unlike the Ark of the Covenant, which is in the Bible and described in detail in the Bible. So there's reason to think that might exist.
That's very true, isn't it? That's the way that it's described in the Bible. It goes on for pages, doesn't it?
Or
a long time for like just the measurements of the Ark. It really makes you feel like someone was looking at it when they,
yeah,
when
exactly,
they were describing it. I'm really hoping Barry John Bauer is going to prove you wrong, Robin. And
yeah.
I really hope that he finds the Ark of the Covenant in Hounslow.
You'd hope so. You'd hope it's just a normal person rather than a huge excavation team or a corporation, right? But yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine being the person who found it. It would just be an incredible thing to be remembered for. Of course, Hounslow isn't the only place in the UK where it's supposedly could be. Glastonbury's often cited as a potential place.
Yeah, that's got another Arthurian claims. Is it Glastonbury that says they've got exactly. the round table, or is that Winchester?
I believe that's the case. I think they found like another relic, which they claimed. I think they claimed to be the Holy Grail at the start of the 20th century.
Wow.
And when they, of course, it was found that it wasn't, but it certainly promoted the idea that the Holy Grail could be in Glastonbury. It kind of reignited that.
And to think, most people know Glastonbury because of the music festival, when actually the Holy Grail was there all along.
Yeah. Right under their very noses.
Under the stage.
Exactly. I'm surprised there aren't more fakes that are brought to the...
Yeah.
To light. Considering it's such a magnificent. I mean, of course, they'd soon be proved to be to be false, but you don't hear of that many people supposedly finding the Grail itself and then it being proven false.
I think the last one that I can think of, and this is years ago when we were on the previous channel that should not be named, I think we may have mentioned it. It was in Spain and it was like 2014 or something. And they had found a cup and it had been dated to like 100 BC. So it's old enough to have been used by Jesus Christ. Whether or not it was is impossible to prove, but at least that was something. I was like, okay, it's the right age, you know,
and survived.
Remarkable.
Let's hope that that our man from Hounslow is the one to find it. We wish him the best of luck.
Happy 2021.
Exactly. And I will wish you two the best of luck, because we're now moving.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hang on to this week's quiz.
Woo!
Ooh. As always, we have 10 questions and a bonus question if we're tied. So, let's hear your buzzers. Robin, what have you gone for this week?
I've gone for an old favourite.
The Wilhelm Scream, very good.
Wilhelm Scream, yeah.
Yep. Lovely, lovely stuff.
Short and sweet. Alex.
Well, it's a battle of the favourites. As it's the first of the new year...
French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
That is Hattie, the best.
Hattie.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Start the year as we mean to go on.
Oh yeah. Drunk Absolutely. Orson and Drunk Delia are just you can't beat them.
The drunkards.
You need a drunk celebrity video.
I do, don't I? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Best I can think of was Christian Bale, but he wasn't drunk. He was just ranting.
He was just
good. Yeah,
just angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. We could do an angry celebrity special where one's Tom Cruise, one's Christian Bale. Who else is there? Who else has been really angry on audio?
We'll do it live. what's his name?
The Christian Bale one's weird because he speaks in like in a weird American accent.
And yeah,
he's British, isn't he?
Yeah, because he's method, but he's angry and shouting, so he's kind of losing his accent.
Kind of half in between. Yeah. It's weird, really strange.
Good, yeah.
Good for a year. that was bad.
Send in your suggestions. Maybe that's something we should do this year.
Drunken angry celebrity recordings, please.
Send in your ideal buzzers for us.
I mean, the first question is relatively easy, so fingers on buzzers.
Ooh,
okay.
Question number one. Who was the first astronaut to walk on the moon?
There's a California champagne.
He's too quick.
Way behind.
Alex.
That was Neil Armstrong.
It was indeed Neil Armstrong.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Allegedly. No,
Stanley Kubrick on a plastic moon. Question number two. What UK dance movement grew from a love of black American music in the 1960s?
Dance movement? As in what?
Dance and music movement, yes. Mainly dance.
There's a California champagne by Paul Masson.
Yes,
I don't. I don't know if there's an actual name, official name for it, but street dancing.
No, it wasn't street dancing. It wasn't street dancing.
I don't understand the question, to be honest.
It was dance movement in the 1960s.
Yeah,
and I'll give you a little bit of a clue. It was in the north of England and the Midlands where people got into halls and started dancing quite frantically to a lot of music created by black American artists in the 1960s. There was a particular name for this movement and this dance style.
Right. I'm afraid the Charleston, I think I lose my knowledge of dance.
Is it California champagne?
Yes,
can I have another guess? Or shall I? Yeah. Robin, you sure you don't want to guess?
No, go ahead. I don't have a clue.
Swing?
It wasn't swing, but it had elements of swing in it.
Yeah.
But it was called Northern Soul.
Oh, I have heard of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Northern Soul.
Didn't realise that was a dance.
Yeah, so the dance movement, yeah.
Right.
A movement is in a force as opposed to a particular movement.
Okay.
I move my body for audio listeners.
Right.
Question number three. What are the odds of getting a double yolked egg?
The odds?
Hmm.
Wow. Okay.
There's a California champagne by Paul Masson.
Closest wins.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to go for one in 200 chance.
Okay. Have you had a double yolked egg before?
I have, yeah. Actually, there was two in the same carton, which I guess makes sense.
That bloody chicken.
From the same chicken, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, closest wins. I hate this. So 50-50. One in 1,000.
It's 1 in 1,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's probably about 1 in 1,010 or something, but it says 1 in 1,000 when I looked it up. I don't know why I was looking that up, to be
that's
honest.
That's a nice round number, isn't it, for them to work that out?
Yeah. Round number. Yeah. If someone's there just cracking each individual egg, screw it. 1 in 1,000, that'll do.
Do you stop when you find your first double yolk, or do you keep going? Yeah. Like, Alex found two in the same packet. Good what question. Do you do when that happens? It's like, oh my gosh. I found two in the same packet, and I've only done 1,000 eggs. Is that 2 in 1,000, or do I keep going for another 1,000?
Apparently, to find a triple yolked egg is 1 in 25 million.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
that's got to have been done by maths, not by somebody cracking.
That
yolks.
Would not be. <I can't laughs> be. Okay, so that is that's 1-1. Question number four:
okay.
How many siblings did Jonald? Did Jonald Dump? How many siblings did Jonald Dump?
There's a California champagne by Paul Masson.
I don't know. Four siblings.
Okay. Any advance on four, Robin?
Three.
He had four siblings.
Damn it!
Oh.
But one of them died. Fred Jr.
Yeah.
Died in 1981. So he now has three, but he had four.
Whenever you say any advance, I assume that I was wrong.
Yeah, I thought I had a chance there. just leading me down the aisle. Up the aisle, up the path, fair. Along the path, down the...
Garden path.
Question.
The too late. Path.
Tired.
Question for the rules here. What would you have said if Robin had also guessed four?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have both got a point.
That's, no, that's, that doesn't Damn make it. Sense. I would have got the point. I guessed it first.
Yeah, but it's kind of a closest wins one.
Thank you, Martin. I think that is the right approach, except I didn't get a point. So it doesn't matter. It's moot point, Alex.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes,
just wanted to clarify the rules.
That it depends. If I just said yes, it's the point's yours, then you would have, of course, got the point. But alas, I gave an opportunity. Okay, that's 2-1. Question number five. What is the coldest capital city on Earth?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
Going by average temperature.
Okay.
Okay.
Caveat. Mm. I've thought of the country.
Okay.
But I've forgotten the capital.
I see. Do you want to wait until Alex does?
No, he's buzzed now.
He's buzzed.
I have buzzed.
You could throw him off by not even saying the right country, just so you have more time to think.
What's the capital of Canada?
I've forgotten what the capital is.
It is...
5 seconds.
Damn it. I've forgotten.
No. Alex, what are you thinking?
I mean, I get your thinking, Robin, but I don't even think it is in Canada. I could be wrong.
Fair enough.
Okay. I will guess a Canada one, though, because I don't know what I don't know the capital either. I'm just going to guess Ottawa.
It is Ottawa.
Yeah. Is it?
You lie.
Well, the capital is the answer.
Capital Canada is Ottawa. And it's the correct answer.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. Fair enough. Thank you,
Robin. It is.
I deserve to lose that, given I completely forgot. I did a mind blank. I was going to say Ontario. So my mind had gone Ottawa. And then when I buzzed, it went Ontario. I was like, Ontario is not the name. And then I just lost it. So well done, Alex.
Nice. Ottawa wins. Ottawa. Yeah, it can reach an average temperature of -10 in January, so it's going to be cold there right now.
Ooh, wow. Chilly.
Yeah, I thought it would be some. I thought it would be like Greenland or somewhere like.
I thought there'd be a trick there. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like there'd be some obscure island state north of or Moscow. You know.
Look, I'm going by Google. Okay.
What's the capital of the North Pole, Martin? Come on.
Santa's workshop.
Good question. Good answer to that. Yes, very good. Very good. So that is 3-1, I believe.
Yeah.
Question number 6.
I think you've got this, Alex.
What be the most valuable sports team in the world?
Oh, come on. The most valuable sports team in the world?
Yes.
Yes.
It's going to be America. It's going to be NFL. And it's going to be one of their teams. I've done it again. I can't think of any three teams. The Rednecks. They're not a team.
It's not the Rednecks.
The Rednecks.
Piss off their whole fan base.
Who are the ones who always get into the final of the Super Bowl but never win? It's the...
The Patriots. Yes. Oh, no, they often win.
Is it them? The Patriots?
It's not them.
Oh,
it's not the New England Patriots.
Thanks for help.
It's always been celebrated for its excellence.
I don't know, you know. I don't know if it would be an American... football team, because that's very like it's American football. It's,
that's true.
I don't know. I would think it would just be soccer football. I'm gonna say Real Madrid.
It's not Real Madrid. They are up there though. They are up there for sure.
Who would it be if it's not them? Chelsea?
Not Chelsea.
Okay.
Celebrated for its excellence.
What's the other one? Bayern Munich. Is that's too obscure?
It's not. It's not. They are a big club, but it's not.
Oh, okay.
A clue. It is an NFL team.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well.
So, yes. If you can give me, you don't have to give me the whole name, but if you can give me the city that they're in,
that's not going to help.
Or even the state. I'll go with state. Why not?
New York?
Not New York.
City and a state. I thought I was being clever there.
Yeah, no, very good. Yeah,
there's a California champ.
Can I give you the mascot? And tell you some details about it?
Not quite generic. I don't even know who the mascot is.
Is it the orange one with a horse or a pony or something?
Let me have a look. I don't think so.
I can't get the point for that, even if it's...
I might challenge that.
It's not a horse.
Oh, okay.
No. Blast. Okay, do you want me to give you a clue about what the mascot's called?
Sure.
Yeah, go on.
The mascot is called Rowdy.
That didn't help me. But I'm going to go with...
I don't know why it would.
Is it the team that were formerly known as the Redskins?
It's not the team that were formerly known as the Redskins.
Right.
One more guess, Alex, and I'll let you guys know.
Is it California?
Is it the Miami Dolphins?
It's not, but they are a team. No, it's the Dallas Cowboys. They're worth $5.5 billion.
What? How?
How?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Big old franchise. Yeah.
I can't believe they're worth that much.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Crazy, right?
That's crazy.
So the quiz stays at 3-1. Question number 7.
See, just as an aside, the Miami Dolphins is the only team that comes to mind because of Ace Ventura. It's the only thing I know. But I knew it wasn't them because they haven't been in a NFL final for ages. Because I would have remembered, you know,
since the '80s, right?
Yeah.
What was the one I was thinking of then, Martin, with the horses?
Well, I have no idea. The horses, orange horse,
Seattle. Was it Seattle?
Seattle, they're the Seattle the Seahawks.
The
right?
Seattle horses.
Yeah, oh, I think they have a hawk on there.
Yeah,
on their emblem.
The Houston horses.
Houston. The Rangers are a baseball team, aren't
they? Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos. Okay,
that's who I was thinking of. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
There we go. Right. Question 7.
3-1.
What is the most expensive game created? And I'm talking here development, marketing, and publishing costs.
Oh, is this a video game?
Mm-hmm.
There's a California.
I don't know who
was Alex.
That.
That was Alex.
Okay, go for Alex.
Was it Destiny?
It was not Destiny.
Good shout.
I thought it was.
I'm trying to think.
The most expensive one ever made. Like it cost the most amount to
to make, build. To publish.
I want to say it's a Call of Duty.
Okay.
By Modern Warfare. What was the one with Kevin Spacey?
I think it was Modern Warfare 3.
No, it wasn't, was it? I thought it was called something else. Like, it wasn't called Future Warfare, but it was kind of like that. One with Kevin Spacey.
If you say Call of Duty, I will accept that.
It's not the one with Kevin Spacey. It's not a Call of Duty game.
Okay, thank you. What was that called?
Infinite? No, that one with Kevin Spacey one was called. Was oh my goodness, what was it called? I can't remember.
Hashtag me too. That's what it's called.
I can't remember.
There is a California champagne by Paul Mas.
Yes.
Is it Red Dead Redemption 2?
Not Red Dead Redemption 2. Advanced Warfare.
Ah,
Red Dead Redemption 2.
It was Warzone.
Yeah.
Can we have a clue?
You may have a clue. It wasn't that well received.
Was it Avengers? Marvel's Avengers?
It wasn't Avengers.
Oh, that's a good guess, though.
Like that is, again, that's right up there.
Thanks.
And in fact, the total cost of that haven't actually been revealed yet. So it could make it up there, but it hasn't been completely revealed yet.
There is a California champagne.
Was it Anthem?
Nope, not Anthem.
I'd be so surprised if it was Anthem.
Really expensive, heavily marketed, but not well received.
Yeah.
In what sense, though? Because, like, could it be Cyberpunk 2077?
It could be Cyberpunk 2077.
That would make sense.
Right.
Yes.
Awesome. Is that expensive?
This is according to the Wikipedia page of the top games. And of course, as we know with games and films, they don't add in all the costs, and a lot of studios don't actually reveal the total costs. Particularly with games. So I'm going by that. So that's a little disclaimer, but according to the list, it's Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, I'll take it. Okay, for point.
Damn it. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
You've been especially that with marketing. Haven't you?
I haven't played it. I haven't played it at all. Fortunately not. I've heard it's quite good on the PC, but the PlayStation and Xbox base console versions are just trash, apparently.
Apparently, yeah.
Which is a shame. So that's 3-2. Question number 8. Which cocktail is made up, usually, of vodka, tequila, rum, triple sec, gin, and a splash of cola? And often lemon.
Yeah, that's right. I'm an alcoholic. It's a Long Island iced tea.
A Long Island iced tea.
Well done.
Well done, Alex. Well done.
Don't well done me for that.
Very good. Question number 9. Who is the richest woman in the world?
Ooh.
There's a California champagne by Paul Masson.
He's buzzed in. He doesn't know.
is it... Can I? Oh, I need to know her name for this, don't I?
What's it be?
You do for the rich woman. I think I know the name.
I think I know the person, but
Yeah.
Actually, maybe I could be totally wrong, but no, I'm going to pass it on. I don't even want to. I could say who I think it is, but I don't know her name, so this is terrible. Pass it on.
Okay, well, awkwardly, and this has got nothing to do with the fact that we are three white males, I also know who I want to say, but I can't remember her name.
You can't remember their name. Okay, can I give you a clue?
Yes.
If it relates to her name.
It's not Jeff Bezos' wife.
Okay, that's who I was thinking of.
That is very helpful.
Yeah, are you both thinking of?
California Champagne by Paul Masson.
Ex-wife.
Inspired.
Is it? Can I have a guess?
Yeah.
Is it Oprah Winfrey?
It's not Oprah.
Oh,
it's not Oprah. Like, I don't know why I know what this, but it's not Oprah.
Melinda Gates?
No.
Okay.
That's a good guess, though.
For some context, Oprah Winfrey is worth $3.5 billion.
She is.
This person is worth approximately $70
billion. Wow.
This is really bad. I mean, this goes to show just how poorly the press focus on female.
Well, people tend to go for the richest, don't they, as opposed to defining it by gender. So, I don't know.
Can we have... No, yeah, it's not going to... What is there any more useful clues that we can have?
Okay. The parent company for this person's wealth also own Asda in the UK.
Oh.
Has always been celebrated for its excellence.
I don't know her name, but I know that this family. Is it someone? Oh no, I have to say the name. Jennifer Walmart.
It's not Jennifer Walmart.
But yeah, isn't it? Sorry, can I buzz?
Okay, yeah.
Walton, isn't it? The family.
Walton.
Yes.
And her name is something really ordinary, like Becky or Andrea Walmart. Not Walmart, sorry, Walton.
Walton. I mean, you got Walton. Is Alex? I'm gonna enlist your help on this. Do you think that's enough for a point?
I did say Walmart like an idiot, but it's very close, and I don't want to get the point. I'll give him the point.
You've got the syllable of it. You said Andre is Alice Walton.
Oh, okay. Alice Walton. There you go, Alice. Yeah. Alice Walton.
Take the point. It's a new year. Take the
That's
point.
That's very kind. Sorry to everyone listening to this. This has probably been a very painful process of us struggling with these questions.
Alice Walton,
right. $70 billion. Okay, wow. Question 10.
Gosh,
thank goodness. Question 10.
What do you do when you have that much money?
And it's a 3-all, is it?
No, you've got 4. So it's 4-3.
Four three, I think.
Have I?
Yeah,
pretty sure.
Yeah, it's 4-2 before. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Question number 10. Okay, I'm not going to give much leeway for you to answer in this one, so the answer has to be snappy once you've buzzed.
Okay.
Question 10. Which is the only vowel not to be used as the first letter of a U.S. state?
There is a California champagne by Alex. Paul Masson.
Oh.
Two.
Oh.
One.
No.
Yes, Robin.
Oh, e? I'm such an idiot.
It's E. Yes, E. Well done.
I was going through them in my head.
Ohio, thinking, Oklahoma.
I was initially thinking A, totally skipped E, and then I was like, Iowa. And then I was like, Utah. And then it's like, okay, it must be O. And then totally forgot E existed.
E existed in the alphabet.
Oklahoma.
Yes, E. For all.
No, I can't believe it was.
We're on to the bonus question. Question 11.
Oh, no.
The most commonly eaten food in the world is rice. But how much of it is eaten per year?
Oh, come on.
In what? Tons?
Presumably.
Oh, you tell me.
Yeah.
It's got to be tons, right?
Okay, it's in metric tons.
How many tons of it is eaten every year?
It's just crazy. Closest wins, right? So one of us is going to make a guess. 1.1 billion tons.
Okay. 1 billion tons.
That's probably too little, isn't it?
Too little. See, I was thinking, oh, he's gone way over that. So I'll stick with that, even though you're probably right. I'll go 900 million tons.
The answer is 486 million tons.
I was way off.
So congratulations, Alex.
Yes.
You are this week's winner of the quiz.
Well, that was a... I don't feel like I deserved that with that ending question.
Yeah, I mean, think about how many people there are in the world. Does each person eat a ton of rice a year?
I assume no. That was what I was going with. I was like, a person could eat a ton of rice a year. I don't know how much a ton is, as you probably get.
Tons of, a ton of
1,000 kilos, yeah. 1,000 kilograms of rice.
1,000 bags of rice.
I imagine that this is how much rice is probably produced, actually, as opposed to eating, because that still sounds like a lot, way too much rice for the world.
So, well then, Alex won the first quiz of 2021. And thank you for an excellent quiz, Martin.
Yes,
no problem.
This is the beginning of my unstoppable streak, I'm sure.
It is. You're firmly in the lead now. So
you are pulled ahead of the pack.
Da-da-da.
Well, it's too soon to tell that but trophy. I'm after that. That is the real holy grail, what you've got, Martin.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I don't have it next to me at the moment, but for next week, I'll bring it back to the table for everyone to admire at home.
The awesome Wales trophy.
Indeed, indeed. But until then... everyone at home, thank you so much for watching, and please feel free to check out our Patreon episodes if you so desire. And thank you, gentlemen, for joining me on this week, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.